Hey everybody, welcome back to Pardon Will Live. I'm your host, David Lilly, aka Pardon Will. Go and like and subscribe, you jabronis. You guys know the drill, you know the routine. We've got this down pat by now. Seamless transitions, perfect video clips, always playing. Always on time. Eight, whatever time it is, eight something. We're not even trying at this point, are we? We're going to be talking a little bit about Star Wars, JK. Well, we are, but this whole entire episode's going to be Star Wars themes. Why? Because I said so, and I like Star Wars. Wearing a Star Wars shirt, bunch of Star Wars stuff all around me. Big fan of Star Wars, and yesterday was May the 4th, which we all know is a Star Wars holiday. And so I decide that this Cinco de Mayo, no one cares about Mexico. It's May the 5th. May the 5th be with you. So we're going to be talking about Star Wars. I'm joking. Cinco de Mayo is great. Happy birthday to Mexico. I don't think that's what that's about either. It doesn't matter. Most of y'all are probably vibing with some libations at this point. Or if you're not, then good for you. Either way, hope you celebrate Cinco de Mayo. It's a Star Wars theme episode / Mexican independence theme episode. No, I don't know. I don't even know how I'm going to do this. But either way, I got some clips. I actually set it up at a buddy of mine, James. He was like, hey, if you tried to play with the clips beforehand, that way they don't just sit there on a load screen like they do all the time when you try to pull them from Twitter. So I got some of those pulled up. You guys are going to stumble your way through this with me. And we're gonna get through these clips. We're going to have a good time. Some big news this week. I'm going to go over the ones that I thought were the most important. Again, I got the chat pulled up. Oh, wow. Chat is Benjamin. Well, let me put this up. Let's see what chat's got. Michael Giuliano says, Benjamin in Ohio says, may the 4th be with you. Pardon, or may the 4th pardon Will. Somehow well, I'm putting that all together. Oh, Benjamin is 9. Hey, Benjamin. May the 4th be and also with you, as our Star Wars Catholics like to say. May the 4th be with you guys. Hope you guys had a great 4th. I love Star Wars holidays. Speaking of Star Wars holidays, you know who else loves Star Wars? The White House. And so we're going to... Oh, actually, we're not going to get in. We're going to get into that. But I'm not promoting the book anymore. The book that's right behind me that you can go to pardonwill.com and look at and purchase yourself a copy. I'm not promoting that anymore. But what I am promoting is pardonwill.com. We are going to promote pardonwill.com. Check this out. This is my website. If you want to support the podcast, you can go here. But I'm going to highlight one thing. I mean, you can scroll. Oh, there's that book, but we're not promoting that. So don't pay attention. At the top, you can, and you're on your phone, same thing. You can go to fine art, which I'm still setting up comic art and merch, but we're going to focus on merch today. You can go to pardonwill.com /merch and pull this up. Now, these are all the t-shirts that I have. I know I don't talk about these often. I used to, not so much anymore. I got a Bad Wolf, Doctor Who. I mean, not Doctor Who. That's probably copywritten. Whatever. Doesn't matter. Some of these t-shirts probably shouldn't be allowed to be sold, but I did anyway. Chuck Norris, he probably wants his likeness back, but you can buy that shirt. I actually have that shirt. I wear it once in a while. I actually have all these shirts. There's the Throg from the Loki series, Spider-Man, obviously. And then, of course, a Pardonwill Podcast t-shirt. You can get that, sport that around town. People be like, what is that? And be like, it's the greatest, worst show on the internets. That's how we do. Greatest, worst show. Anyway, go to pardonwill.com, support the podcast. So, I don't know if you knew this, but the old White House is really dipping into their influencers. They've been doing it for all this time, bringing all these TikTok influencers to the White House to promote their whatever regime agenda they got. And we've all sat back and been like, these dumb TikTok influencers, look at these. Joe Biden's trying to be cool with the kids. Not this time around. They went for those millennial Gen Xers or whatever. And they pulled in old Lukey Skywalker to endorse Trump. Now, if you follow Mark Hamill, like I do, on the internet, you already know where his political leaning is. He won't shut up about it. And I know we all think, like, man, I super care about what actors think of politically, but a lot of people do. And Mark Hamill, aka Luke Skywalker, takes full advantage of that. So we're going to watch this clip. And I want you to tell me what you think about it. And I'm trying something new. I'm going to try not to just talk over it like I normally do. We're just going to play it and I'll just pause it And we're gonna see what the old White House is doing today. So hopefully this plays and sounds.
No introduction that really is needed here. I have a special guest, as you can see. Mark Hamill has decided to join us on this wonderful Friday, and I am really excited.
Well, Karen G. Peterson.
To Mr. Hamill. There we go.
How many of you had Mark Hamill will lead the press briefing on your bingo card? Hands? Yeah, me either.
Not me.
I just got to meet the president. He gave me these aviator glasses. I love the merch. Love it all. But listen, I just wanted to say I was honored to be asked to come to the White House to meet the president.
Having a hard time here. All right, let's just take a... Why did it pause it like that? Either way, it's paused like that. Bro, is Luke Skywalker sauced? I mean, maybe he's old. Maybe he's got a stutter. Is it just the water in the White House? Is everyone who just like, hey, can I get a glass of water? And all of a sudden they're spacey. But I'm gonna be honest. Like, I love Mark Hamill. I love Luke Skywalker. I love Star Wars, obviously. But he, I think he was a bit nervous and just hit the cantina early. And he's got to be. He's got to be sauced. I don't know. I don't know how else to explain this. But he's got the funny jokes. No, they're not funny either. But either way, let's continue to see. I want you to think about that. When you watch this, be like, is this... He hung out the cantina a little bit too long. Let's see.
The most legislatively successful president in my lifetime. And, you know, I don't have to go through the list, the bipartisan infrastructure law, the PACT Act, the CHIPS Act, all of that inflation.
He's just slamming out the chip, best thing ever. The light, he's the greatest president. Slap the table. Perfect president. CHIPS Act. Who's got chips? Yeah. Anyway, he's Nancy Pelosi and up there. There's a good joke.
15 million jobs. Look, it's all good. I mean, I was thrilled to meet the entire staff because, you know, it's not just one person. It's like a composite endeavor. And all
Michael Giuliano says maybe there's some Hunter's Coke in the water. No, if Hunter's Coke was in the water, he'd be warp speeding. Dude, I used warp speed when in reference to Star Wars. Take my Star Wars card. He'd be light speeding all over the place. He'd be on that Corellian. Man, there's some Star Wars jokes. I'm just failing you guys tonight. Hopefully this coffee will kick in and I'll be able to pull it off. But yeah, old Lukey here, man, he's stumbling through it. Let's just finish
all these
it up
people,
real quick.
My goodness. You know, I mean, I have no idea. I had no idea just what went into what is on his plate on a daily basis. So
anyway, let's pause it for a minute. Actually, let's just get rid of it. I would hate, here's the thing. If I'm ever at the White House press briefing and I've had a few too many, could someone just stop me and be like, bro, don't go up there, or let me roll. Cause I might actually be funny. I'll put this up. Michael says he's outer sauce. That was the best joke. Man, I wish I could have just kept that comment silent and used it on my own. Good one, Michael. I forgot what I'm saying. Oh, he goes in and he's like, I didn't realize there's so many people involved. All right. So the big joke was online that Luke Skywalker is endorsing the Empire, which sounds hyperbole. Yes. But to be honest, we're all thinking it. And I love how he's like, there's so many people involved in this empire. Look at all these, you know, laser operators and TIE fighter pilots, all this great stuff. This empire is doing great, and it's hard to avoid. And I know most people, there's probably a ton of Star Wars fans out there that love Biden, and they're just soaking this up. Like, all my favorite Hollywood stars are for the same political party I am. How convenient, bro. Not. It's normal. And everyone else on the other side, who's not a part of the empire, that's like, quote unquote, the rebellion. It's a sad day, but it's not surprising. Quick review. What does Mark Hamill do for a living? He gets paid money to say the lines written for him. What's he doing now? You can tell me he's not getting paid to say the lines that are written for him. Anyway, this is what he does. And that's why all your favorite actors, look, I love Star Wars. And I love The Mandalorian. I think a lot of these actors who come out on left, and when, like, let's bring up Gina Carano, the big elephant in the Star Wars Disney room. She got kicked because of a non-offensive tweet that just seemed outlandish. And I don't remember any of her castmates coming up being like, yeah, this is a little awful. They all kept silent, like good people, because they get paid to say what's on the paper. And if you start coming off the paper and being like, you know what? I don't know if we should be treating our fellow neighbors and ostracizing them, because if I look here, back in the 40s, they'd, oh, you're fired. You only say what's on the paper. We wrote it, you say it, and don't step out of bounds. That's what actors do. So when all your favorite actors are coming out, just endorsing the party, that you don't be sad. We all see it. We're all used to it. Think about all the people who are Democrats that loved Ronald Reagan when he was in the pictures. The pictures that they're moving, when they would go see him, be like, I love this Ronald Reagan, he's the best cowboy. And then he comes out as a Republican. They're like, darn willikers. It's not who I wanted. But we're just dealing with that now. I love Marvel. And the only one I think that might politically align somewhere close to me is Chris Pratt. And he's probably one of my favorite characters in the whole Marvel universe. But Mark Ruffalo, I'm pretty sure that guy hates me. He doesn't know me, but I'm sure if he did meet me, if he was watching right now, he might be watching. And Mark, if you're watching, don't hate me, bro. I watch all your stupid political takes. And this has come from somebody who's serious, stupid political takes. I've watched all yours online, and it's disheartening. You know what else I can't, and this is the other one that I don't know if Twitter is just really wanting me to see what Stephen King's been up to. That guy won't shut up either. And he just writes books. I don't think he's getting paid. I think he literally drank the Kool-Aid. He's in the sauce too. He drank the Kool-Aid. And he probably hates my guts. And I like Stephen. I like old Stephen King. I like all these people. And I just want to let you know, if you're feeling ostracized from all your favorite actors because they follow a political party and a whole narrative, don't feel bad. They probably don't really believe it. They're just following suit like they should. Because when you criticize the Empire blows your planet up like Alderaan. And so all these actors know that if they go, hey, you know, I don't know, maybe I'm, you know, maybe this Trump guy might not be so, oh, there's my resignation note that they're making me sign, or they plan something on your computer or whatever they want to do. It's all for show, guys. And so don't, they're all secretly probably thinking what you're thinking. Maybe Mark Ruffalo, the Hulk. He's like, man, that David Lilly Pardonwell guy, he's got it spot on. But if I could just open my mouth, I would. That might not be true. Some of these people probably are dipping into it. Either way, Luke Skywalker comes out dark side. We kind of knew. All right, so let's be honest. If we're talking about allegories of Star Wars characters and political things, Luke was never my favorite, except for Return of the Jedi Luke. That Luke was kind of killer. But early Luke, whiny, complains, I don't get what I want. Dude, total Democrat. Totally makes sense. But the older he got, he's all like, falling, and it's like, I'm a Jedi master, and you know, release, you know, he saves Han and all that stuff. But to be honest, dude, he complains the whole time. He's just a teenager. He's mad at his dad. Like, that is a Democrat. Now, if you want to go hardcore, let's go hardcore Republican. We're going to go neocon. We're probably going to go neo. I would say Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan might be a hardcore neocon. He probably voted for Reagan. You know, he's into the old ways. He's a traditionalist. And we saw the Obi-Wan series came out with McGregor. Ian. Oh, my God. I'm tripping up on his words. Guys, I'm failing you guys tonight. I don't have any of the zingers. Maybe it'll come to me. It's only my second cup of coffee. It hasn't kicked in yet. But yeah, my favorite was always Han Solo. Matter of fact, it was so much my favorite when they, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen any of the stupid sequels, beyond sequels, when they killed him off, I was like, I think I might be done with Star Wars. Han Solo is my favorite. Guess what Han Solo political party is aligned with? It, just pay attention. He's a smuggler, hates the Empire, not a fan of the Rebellion either. And so he's kind of off on his own. He's like a libertarian or something. He just doesn't care about you. Just wants to be left alone. Doesn't like all these rules. Doesn't like who controls what. Thinks the Rebellion and the Empire, they're all the same. They got a uniparty. So if Han Solo was your jam, you can line up with him politically. Now, I don't know where Harrison Ford is on the political spectrum, because he's done a great job of just staying quiet, I think. Maybe he's been out there. I don't think I follow him around. You guys let me know what Harrison Ford's been up to. I think he's just being a good actor. He's like, hey, I'm into acting. I'm not super political. Old Mark Hamill here, man. Dark side got to him. And he succumbed, which I think he does in the comics anyway. So he's just living up to his comic book character. Anyway, this is a long Star Wars rant. I'm so sorry. Do I have anything on? Anyway, oh, yeah. We all know that the Biden regime is the empire. We can complain. The fact that the institutions are aligned, all the media is aligned. If you were a part of the rebellion, Coca-Cola wouldn't be behind you. Bud Light wouldn't be behind you. If CNN was in a galaxy far, far away, I guarantee they'd be like, look at this Alderaan being blown up. Think about all the terrorists on Alderaan. They would have been doing that all day long. You know it. And, the Empire, I'm not quite to him, some kind of old creepy guy in the background paying for everything. I don't know who comes to mind when I say that, but I'm sure somebody does in the political realm. Oh, I think that guy died. Didn't Soros die? I mean, not that guy. Yeah, that guy. And the Emperor, he died too. But then they brought him back. Makes me wonder if we're already into cloning. Either way, life imitates art, art imitates life. We don't know which is up and down. We know we live in the Empire, and we know Luke Skywalker has turned to the dark side. Moving on. In other news, I'm zipping right through these. In other news, one of the big things that came out politically, oh, this is a whole political podcast. I don't know if you know this. And it's politics and Star Wars. I'm going to share this. Nope, not that. I'm going to share that too. Let me get rid of this real quick. Some big news for my side of the spectrum, my side of the political court. Old Donnie Boy is going to the Libertarian Convention. Let me share this real quick. I'm going to read this out to you. We're going to talk about this. I'm going to share my feelings about this particular thing. Let's take a look at it. I'm going to leave it up. It's President Trump to address Libertarian Party concerns at National Convention, May 25th. The Washington, D.C., May 1st. Oh, that's just a date. Libertarian National Party, the party of principle, announced that President Donald Trump has responded to our invitation and challenge the Libertarian Party to speak at the National Convention. I heard someone talked about him being a headliner and directly address the concerns voiced by its members. President Trump will speak on Saturday. Blah, 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 blah. So this whole post, I'm not going to leave it up. I'm going to share my thoughts on it real quick, because I know half of you guys listen is like, these freaking libertarians are so dumb. Why we still give them a voice? A few things. I'm going to talk about this. I tweeted when I saw this instantly. I'm not mad, because you guys have watched this podcast. You're loyal subscribers. You've already hit liked and subscribed and shared it. You guys know my political views. I'm like not a libertarian because I can't really be cool enough to fit in that camp, or I'm just not autistic enough. I don't know what it takes to be a real libertarian. Libertarians don't know what it takes to be a real libertarian either way. So when you watch this, be like, well, and you go talk to your family later on and they're like, what do those libertarians think? And be like, well, I watched The Pardon Will Live. And this is exactly what the libertarians think. Nope. Back that up, because even they're having a big contentions about this. So basically, a lot of libertarians are like, Donald Trump's not a libertarian. He should not be speaking at this convention. Wrong. If anything, it brings that whole MAGA thing to pay attention to libertarian ideals. I don't know if you know this, but all of MAGA's favorite, the MAGA movement, all their favorite politicians are part of the thing called Freedom Caucus. And I hate to tell you, a ton of them love the libertarian leading Republicans, like Ron Paul, like Rand Paul, like Thomas Massey, like Justin Amash. All these guys, they're kind of libertarian. And so libertarian views are super popular. You know what's not popular? Libertarian Party. Because they're wacky. They're a crazy bunch. And we're all kind of crossing our fingers going, I sure hope nothing crazy happens at this convention, like it does at every convention that they have. Someone's going to walk up on stage, no clothes, with a boot on their head. Because that happens all the time. They're going to argue about whether or not you need a license to have a toaster. They're going to do that. It's going to be a blast. If you haven't watched Argue the Debates, we're going to be lucky if they show up with socks on. They might just show up barefoot. And so I love my boys over in the libertarian camp. Here's what I do love about it. Trump's going to show up, and then a ton of people on the MAGA side are going to be like, hey, what are these libertarians talking about? Gun rights? We like gun rights. And what about all the stuff that Trump did? Want to, take the guns first? Yeah, he said stuff like that. That's why when I say I like Trump, I don't align with him completely politically. It's because a lot of his policies, I was like, the vaccines, that whole thing, I don't jive well. But a lot of stuff he does do, I'm ranting now, but I'll tell you this. And this is such a weird, controversial take. I hope you guys appreciate this one. There are some Trump policies I do like. I do appreciate. They're better than Biden's, for sure. And we see that, and I'll bring this up in just a second. They're better than Biden's. They're better than Democrats. Like, I would take Trump. I would take Trump over anybody that the left side can put up. I like Trump as a person more than his policies. That's my big mic drop moment. Trump as a person, I know people are like, David, you're a Christian. How do you like this guy who grabs them by the you-know-whats? All right, side note. I don't think Trump is a great Christian. I think Trump is doing a great job at doing what he does. I think Trump is doing a great job at being Trump. And that's the thing I like about him. Because out of everything you can say about the guy, you can't tell me he's not authentic. I legit think that's him. I don't think he's putting on a show. And when I said last week, when I was like, he panders, I don't think he panders in the way that we're all used to pandering. Like when Hillary Clinton was on that interview, speaking to a bunch of, I don't even remember what name it was. Maybe it was a podcast. Either way, they were talking about her reaching, you know, the African-Americans, the black community. And she pulls out hot sauce. She's like, I carry hot sauce around in my purse. And the way she does a country accent when she's at a black church, stuff like that. Trump wouldn't do that. Trump doesn't do that. If Trump goes to, South Carolina, you think Trump comes out and starts talking like this? No, he talks like Trump. And he doesn't change. And that's the thing people really hate. Matter of fact, if anything, he could do, the one thing he could do better is stop talking so much, is what most people say. I disagree. I think the more he talks, the more we get to know him. And the more we get to know him, the more people like him. And that's kind of where I'm at now. Again, I'm not going to go on the big middle finger rant. I think he's a great middle finger to the uniparty deep state. You guys know that. I know it's a simplistic take. I get it. I'm a simpleton. You don't come here for the super intellectual. I keep shaking the table. Sorry, guys. Come here for the super intellectual political analysis of the day on foreign and domestic wars and inner affairs. And, you know, you don't come here for that. You come here because, to be honest, I don't know why you come here. But I'm glad you are here. What we got? We got Trump 2020 is back. He says they're good people. I think he's talking about the libertarians. They are good people. They're like the only people that want to hang out with me online. So yeah, I love my libertarian friends. One day I'll be cool enough, but I think I'm going to hop, skip right over that libertarian thing straight into anarchists here in a little bit. If I keep reading my Bible, because my Bible is telling me all kinds of stuff about not worshiping the state. So it seems to be those libertarians are cued in on something. Anyway, a lot of libertarians are really mad about this. They're like, why is Trump coming here? He's not a libertarian. We don't want him. We should be, you know, highlighting our libertarian candidate, especially the one that's going to be running. You know, I think the Libertarian Party is pretty much, the convention is them. I don't think they've announced exactly. They still have debates and stuff. That's how in depth and in tune to the Libertarian Party I am. They have a lot of great candidates. One of them I particularly hope that wins. It's that Joshua Smith guy. I like him. He's a hardcore libertarian. And so they're all pretty mad that Trump's showing up because they're like, he's not a libertarian. And what a lot of the libertarians in the chairs are pointing out, like, yeah, we're not trying to sway Trump. We're definitely just trying to get people to look. It actually brings up, makes the Libertarian Party look legit, or at least pulls eyes on the Libertarian Party. And I agree with them. I think that's a great tactic. I don't think a ton of libertarians are going to leave this going, I'm voting for Trump when Trump shows up. Do I hope they do? Part of me wants the libertarians to kick back against this. And I'll tell you why in just a minute. But part of me does want them to see, be like, oh, okay, there is some practicality to playing the game strategically. And I think that's exactly what the LP did. But one thing that no one seems to pay attention to, what they also did, they invited Trump to speak because they also invited Biden. And they also invited RFK. And Biden has not said anything. He's not going to go. If Biden shows up and says, yeah, I'll go to the LP, that'll be amazing. It'll be amazing. He's not going to do it. I can guarantee that. RFK, maybe, because RFK actually went to Porkfest, which is a big libertarian festival out in New Hampshire, and actually spoke at that. And people were really appreciative, even though RFK at the time was running on the Democrat ticket, is now running on his own independent ticket. He got invited too. He hasn't said anything. So all this hubbub and the libertarians being all mad that Trump's going, maybe he'll deals some kind of shot, but I guarantee this will be the biggest Libertarian convention that ever had, they've ever had. And you can't be like, well, they're just leaning to the right. They're trying to play. Look at all these Mises caucus chair people trying to play to the right side. Did they invite them both? Now, did they know that they weren't going to show up? No, I don't think they expected. I think they sent out the way I send out DMs for guests on my podcast. I think they did one of these, like, hey, type up that email and send it to them. Send it to all of them. RFK, Biden, and Trump, and see if we don't get just shoved straight to the spam corner. And they hit send. All of a sudden, bing. Trump's like, what is this? Did I get an email? Click it. And he's like, Libertarians, they seem like a fun group. Boom, and it's going. And I don't think they expected it. So lo and behold, now they're like, holy crap. Trump's coming to this, and they probably got excited because one in a million shot. And so anyway, Trump's going to the convention. They invited everybody. So all these leftist libertarians have been like, well, what about all our whatever? I don't even know how that's even possible to be a leftist libertarian. I mean, I do. I get it. Socially left or whatever. But they're all upset because old Trumpy boy is showing up, going to bring some freedom to the Libertarian Party. Now, going to bring some eyes. And here's why I like it. I said this online a long time ago. Most of you guys don't follow me on Twitter. Well, maybe you do. I don't know. It doesn't matter. No one sees my tweets anyway. They lost into the ether. That's why I get away with doing and saying whatever I want on a podcast that's on YouTube. I said this before, and I stand by this. If the duopoly, the two parties fighting, like we're going to have in America, because it's pretty much built that way. I mean, there's literally two sides. And so there's an aisle between, you know, when they talk about like, we cross the aisle, they're talking about legit aisle, and it's two sides. So the two-party system was pretty much built into the foundation of this. And I think where we are now, maybe not in the past, so don't hold me to this, but where we are now politically, where you have the two big parties, the right and left, the Democrats and Republicans, and then you have this small independent Libertarian Party over here, off in the outskirts, kind of like the redhead stepchild in the background that doesn't get to be in the family pictures. That's how the Libertarians feel. And I think the Overton window is getting so big. What I would like to see is all those crazy leftists. I know this is on the right side of your screen, but my left hand, it's too confusing. All those leftists that are like, we're going to drag story our trans kids. We're going to bomb everybody. We're going to do whatever we want. And we're going to, you, what kind of vaccines you want? You're getting them all and you have to take them. We're going to fire you if you don't. What'd you say? Are you, how do you fill out your application? What minority group are you part? Oh, you're not part of a minority group. Oh, you're not going to jump. All that crazy leftist stuff that they've just been taken over and taken over and taken over. I think that should get shoved to the red, like the redhead stepchild back. And then I think the two-party system, this is such a long rant for such a dumb take. The two-party system should be Republican versus Libertarian, because then you're basically going from the big government leftists. They're that's just dumb. Those are all dumb takes. Get off the side. You can pretend like you're a real party, but you're not. And then the small government Republicans, not really small, but what they claim to be small government Republicans, and then like the really super individualist small Libertarians. And let the Republicans and Libertarians take the main stage and hash it out. Because then we'd actually get some real policy, some real stuff. We'd actually probably have a real country again. So that's my hot take. Just push the Democrats off the stage. Let them whine about whatever, you know, whatever is the trend of the day, whatever flag they're waving at this point in time, whatever big thing that they want. Leave them off on the side and then let the Republicans and Libertarians go after it. And I guarantee you it'll raise the intellect of America up. Skyrocket, because actual conversations will be had without people just getting kicked off and you'll be like, well, what'd you say about what group? Canceled. You wouldn't have any of that. It would be great. We'd actually get some real conversations about gun control. Here, guess what? We'd actually might get a presidential debate. Imagine that. We'd have maybe, I mean, Trump can hold his own in debate. Look at him. He's not tripping over bikes or falling downstairs. I mean, yeah, he sips his water a little weird, but he's not, you know, phasing out halfway through a speech. And we get a good libertarian. I don't care. Pick the oldest libertarian you can. Just a geriatric versus geriatric. Still, we'd at least get a debate, and it might actually be a good one. I want to see a debate between Trump and Ron Paul. Let's see how that works out. That would be amazing. So tell me you don't want to live in that America. We just take the Democrats. Cool party. You guys are great. Let's not start any more wars. You guys go off to the side, kids' table. Put them at the kids' table so they don't blow up the Middle East. And then we just have a conversation with the Republicans, who probably still want to blow up the Middle East, and the Libertarians, who are like, we should stop blowing up people, and then let them hash it out. That's what I think. And that's the America I want to live in. And that will be the Overton window shifting all the way back to the right side. That's another reason why people always talk about these libertarians stealing votes from Trump, which was another conversation that I think Trump is going to the LP, is I think he is worried that the libertarians might take some votes from him. And if he can pull some libertarians, I don't know, to be honest, I don't know any libertarian out there who might vote for Trump. But if there was any more of them that are similar to me, it would be a good move for him to show up. So this is number one. Number one, one of the best things Trump could ever do. And I think it's a good move on the Libertarian Caucus, or the Libertarian Party. And I'm saying that specifically because I want more people to see the Libertarians and be like, oh, these people aren't that crazy. Except there's a few wacky dudes, but every party's got some wackadoodles. Libertarian Party might have a few more, but they got some really smart people who want the best for the country. They should have different ways of going about it. So it would be like small government, limited to no government kind of thing going after it. And we would get back to some kind of form of a country on a great road. Anyway, that's that rant. We got another comment. We got Trump won. He says, what do you think about climate change? I think the climate change is, this is a good question. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because I'm not a scientist. Like that one person says, I can't say what a woman is because I'm not a biologist. I'm going to pull the same card. No, I'm not. Do I think climate change is real? Sure. Do I have proof that it is? No, just people told me. Do I have proof that it doesn't exist? No, I just saw some stuff online that said it doesn't. Has it affected my life? Sure has. Gas prices are super high because people want to shut down fracking and oil stuff. Do I like fracking? No, I like forests. And if it was my land, I wouldn't want you drilling into it unless I'm getting paid for it. I'd like to privatize a lot more of that. What I mean is the national forest. We should privatize that, cut that up, sell it off. Let all these Gen Xers or the Gen Z, whatever the new generation coming up under the millennials, under what I'm right there at the millennial thing. Let the millennials and the younger generations be able to buy some friggin' land. I tell you what, here's another good one. You know, the reparations is always in the conversation. And I heard this take and I was like, it's a great take. Number one, if foundational Black American people who are, you know, come from a slave ancestry in America, if you want reparations, I don't know. That's going to be a hard one. I don't even know why I'm getting into this, but I'm going to say real quick. Number one, I would advocate for that might be somewhat realistic is abolish state tax for people who have, are foundational Black Americans. Number two, I'd go for the federal tax too, because this taxation stuff is out of control. That'd be the first thing. And you'll have people on the side being like, well, it's not coming out of my tax money. You're not paying reparations through my work that the government's stealing all my tax money. You're not just giving out to more. To be honest, if you sat anybody down in America and said, who would you rather your tax dollars go to? Reparations for people who were there for ancestry and slavery or Ukraine and Israel? They'd be like, are you serious? I get this choice, because they would absolutely probably choose reparations. Number two, you got a ton of land. Federal has a ton of land that they're just doing whatever they want on, building secret tunnels for the elites or Air Force bases or Area 51s times a million. Chop some of that up, hand that off too. Give them some acreage. Let them, I mean, they didn't have to be like, oh, get off. I'm not saying give them a reservation. That sounds awful. Well, that does sound really awful. But that isn't a bad idea either if they want to live on it. Either way, give it up. We have tons of land. Frack on that if you want. Anyway, do I believe if climate change is real? Not necessarily. Honestly, I don't think it's near as hyped up as it was before. I'm old enough to remember when the ice age was coming. Bro, I'm old enough to remember when they were freaked out about acid rain. What? Acid rain. They were like, pollution's going to cause rain acid. Never happened. Maybe that's because we control the weather with cloud seeding. But if climate change was legit, if it is legit, my guess, I'll do a whole podcast over climate change. My little gas guzzler or whatever, it's not making a hell of a difference compared to all the... dude, I grew up around Houston. The pollution there, we're like, look at all these cars around. I can tell you the pollution isn't probably from the cars. Might be a little bit from the cars. And pollution's a legit thing. I don't think it's altering the climate. I still don't know how we have... whatever. I don't know. I'm not a scientist. I'm going to leave it there. I should stop ranting. I got other things we're going to talk about. But yeah, there's my stupid take on climate change. Guys, I don't know if you know this, but I'm not completely an idiot. I don't have to tell you that. You guys know. Just like to have fun. I try to crack jokes. I'm failing tonight. No good jokes. But I'm also not super political. And I'm going to get into this real quick before we move into our next segment. I don't have great political takes. And I'll tell you why. There's a lot of things that are important to me in this life. I'm sure there's a lot of things that are important to you in your life. Politics has never been one of them. And the only reason I started to talk and started to dip into this is because it really happened around 2020 when the COVID thing happened. Because even my ignorant self was like, this is not my fight. Like, I'll participate the best I can. I'll kind of stand in the periphery and look at the world events. But I was a libertarian at heart before I even started talking to libertarians, because I was very much an isolationist. I was very much like, leave it up to people, let them kind of make their own decisions. Because the main thing I worried about was not how someone voted, but who they believed in. Because my background as a Christian, that was the first thing I thought. How they went through life. My main concerns weren't if they have health care. My main concern was, are they lonely? Are they suffering by themselves? Do they have a spiritual back? Do they have a community? Do they have anybody they can lean on? Like, these things, these were the things that I focused on, and I still do. These are my main focuses. That's why when I hop on here and I talk politics, it's just for fun. And I said this last week. I do this because not everybody needs to be super politically inclined. And I almost kind of hope that people don't get super political. Unless it's like your, if this is your thing, if you're super like into politics, it's your jam, then I hope you do. And I hope we align. I hope we have agreement, because I depend on all those people to give me their ideas. But I can critically think. Like the climate change thing. I understand it's totally possible. I understand it's totally overblown. I can take that with a nuanced concept. But my big thing was never been politics, and it still isn't. I just like to chat about this. The one thing that does bother me with the politics, is why I talk about it on Part One Live, is the way cultures run. I'm way more of a culture warrior than I am of a politics thing. I care way more about society and what's affecting us now. I'm way more inclined to that. And the one thing that it pops up all the time is how the media treats the average person, the average American, what the media says about them, how they play. And the 2020 thing really threw me off, because even out of all of that, I didn't have a really hard political stance. And I could probably go back. This podcast has been around for a hot minute. It was audio only for a while. I could go back and I could see how politics was a third rail, not because I was afraid to touch it, because I was like, I'm way too much of an idiot for that. I don't need to waste people's time with my takes. And the only reason I bring stuff up like this now is because I can watch any of the news. I can watch Fox and be like, this is dumb. I can watch CNN, this dumb. I bring up Morning Joe. I'm about to bring them up in a little bit too. I can watch that and be like, this is totally, totally a dumb take. My thing is, I don't like when people are lied to. I don't like bullies. And the media and this regime and the government, the more and more I start to pay attention, the more and more they seem like bullies. And I don't like that. And so I like to get on here and make fun of them as often as I can and with as much vigor as I can. So we're going to go to, we're going to take a look at this in another clip. With that said, just so you guys know, I'm not politically inclined. One of the things I have not ventured in talking about a lot was this Israel, Palestine conflict. Number one, I'm probably falling in that American first category. Again, I'm not a political guy. I'm definitely not a foreign politics kind of guy. So my takes on Israel Gaza has been, I don't even know if it's our problem. So I'm fairly America first with that. I don't like sending money. Even when Ukraine and Russia came up, like, who are you for? Like, I'm for both of them or neither. I'm in that category. And as we've grown in politics and political stance, especially this election, that's becoming such a terrible take. People hate that. They're like, no, you've got to pick a side. And sure, I could, but I can tell you right now, it'll be super ill-informed. And I think, I don't know, maybe there's a grift in that. People have taken sides on the Israel-Palestine thing. And a lot of these protests is what we're going to talk about here in a minute. A lot of people have taken sides in that. And I think there's a few reasons why people take sides. Number one, they could be just super really into foreign and domestic politics. They like that foreign stuff. That's why the Ukraine, Russia thing, Israel, Palestine, we see they're super into, like, this is how, the empires, they think in a empire way, like the galactic empire way. Bringing that Star Wars reference back. Or they have a personal tie. Maybe they're from there. Maybe their ancestry is from one of those places. They're Ukrainian, they're Russian, they're Israeli, they're Pakistani, whatever it is. I said Pakistani. That's how dumb I am. Or they make sure it's a grift and they're making money off finding a camp. I know a ton of people. I even saw this online before. They're like, the best way to get followers and get a ton of like and subscribes on your podcast is to pick a side and go hard in the paint. And they're absolutely right. Tribalism pays, and it does you good. I'm not saying that's the reason no one pays attention to this podcast. I don't think people love this podcast because of me. I don't think it's because of any of my takes. I think they're like, this guy sucks. No, I'm playing. But yeah, I don't pick a side on this one. Is this not in my purview? It's not even something I pay attention to a lot. And as a Christian, I've been asked about this, but like, you're a Christian, shouldn't you, you know, fuck? My Christian takes are not what your normal white evangelical Christian takes are. I don't fall into those camps very well. And so one of the things that I want to show is these protest things have been going wild because it's this whole, remember when I said like, I'm not into politics and things are starting to pull me in. Well, now we are back in it. The Empire this week, specifically this week, has struck again. And so we're going to watch this video. I'm going to pull this up.
That's pretty much it. I'm open to questions.
Well, let's get rid of this real quick. Resource.
Although, no Star Wars questions, please. But I want to say once again how this shows it.
Let's hop.
These protesters out. There's an encampment. There are
super professional.
We believe. There also may be outside
all right, so this is I don't remember where this was. I think this is UCLA. I skipped over the whole front part. And so the police showed up at UCLA. I think this is UCLA. Don't check me on that one. They showed up and started tearing down all these protesters. Their whole encampment. You guys have heard about this. I mean, it's been all over the news. Of course you know about this. You know about this more than I know about this. That's how much this has been all over the place. So they showed up and started tearing this down. And so we're going to watch this. It's a bit of a long clip. I think I skipped through. I might skip through more of it. And I'm just going to make some comments on this because this is, do you guys remember 2020? You remember when there was riots? By golly, here's an election season. Tell me there's not more riot gear. We haven't seen riot gear since 2020. Do you think that's a coincidence? Do you think that? Let's talk about coincidences real quick. I have it freeze frame. I'm going to play it here in a minute. I want you to pay attention to what's going on. And I know some of you guys have paid attention, but like all these encampments, their tents are somewhat expensive and they all kind of look the same. It's almost as if someone went and bought out a Costco of tents and showed up and delivered them. I didn't say that. You did. Pay attention to what's going on here. And we're going to watch. Oh, this is Morning Joe, by the way. Can't have a Pardonable Live without bringing up Morning Joe. Trusty Morning Joe. All right, let's go with it.
Agitators, and I'll put that in quotes. But we'll monitor this and see how it unfolds. But they are apparently trying to break up the encampment, which I believe was negotiations for several.
I don't know if you know this, but I'm a contractor. I know you think I'm a rich podcaster. I know you guys are like, this guy, he just podcasts and arts all day. Nope, I do. I build stuff, houses and things. Plywood ain't cheap, and no one's just buying it and stacking it up. Now, I will notice if you watch this clip, which we're going to do, that police officer picks it up pretty easily and moves in. It's probably 3/8. They didn't go hardcore on the 3/4. They definitely didn't go buy the expensive. That's BC. It's not super, super, super expensive plywood, but it is pricey. And someone showed up. It still has a sticker on it from Home Depot. Someone showed up and bought a bunch of plywood and brought there. I don't know who's paying for this. Maybe all these kids, these students, have credit cards. You know, they have mom and dad's credit card and they're just charging it. But I don't even think half these kids can drive. And I don't know who has a truck because they're not slapping that thing on a Prius. So that's weird. We're going to keep watching. Just pay attention, see what else you can see in this crowd.
Couple days now, this is happening at campuses across the country. This one's a little bit larger, a little bit more like.
It looks like they're screwed together. Someone in that crowd knows how to use a drill.
So we will monitor this situation and come back to it as
necessary. Donnie, what are your thoughts?
As I'm watching,
Donnie, what are your thoughts?
There's two thoughts that come to my head. First of all, I'd like to know where their parents are.
Hold on. Are they holding a lid to it? They're holding a lid to a storage container. That's cool. The one thing that this looks like an OSHA meeting. I swear to God, I've seen one of these on a job site Well, the general contractors and all the heads of the plumbing, the head of electrical, they're all walking around talking about the plans. You got the OSHA safety guys there, and they're all walking around with their hard hats. And all the tradesmen are sitting back, being like, look at these rich yuppies. That's exactly what this looks like. Looks like a Monday morning job meeting on a project. Who bought the hard hat? Number one, hard hats aren't cheap either, by the way. And they're all, obviously, they went through and bought those out of a Home Depot, or they backlogged or something. Somebody's paying for all these. And we got some comments. I'm going to pop these in real quick. We got from Twitch, we got Pileo Garbage. That's awesome. Got to have orange hard hats to make sure everything's done by permit. That's perfectly true. Man, you got, when you're on a job site, that's the one, the orange, that's the one you got to look out for, especially if you're doing something like not wearing your safety glasses. You got to watch out for those orange red hard hats. Those guys come around, they'll get you. That's their whole job. And you know politically where they line up too, because all they want to do is catch you doing something you shouldn't be doing. Are you over here microaggressing or cutting without safety glasses? Anyway, that was a good comment. We got Trump. Trump won. Hopefully there was police brutality. Dang, that's a hot take. I wish I would have had that one. That one's good. Let's see what else we got. We got a bunch of comments coming in. Let's see. Someone's going to have to fill out a GSA for protest. I love you guys. You guys are great. Yeah, so I don't know who's paying for all the hard hats, the plywood. This is, you could have went a cheaper route. You could have went with OSB. OSB is technically cheaper than normal BC plywood. Someone went with the expensive route. Again, was it mommy and daddy's credit card? Was it, you know, Democrat donors? Probably. That's a fun one. Look into that if you want. It's a simple Google search, or Alex Jones show away. Go take a look. We're going to continue on. Listen to what they're going to say here in a minute, because I think this was pretty insightful.
Who these parents are?
I'd like really to know.
Wait, hold on. Can we back up first and ask who these people are? Because there are a lot of these people who are not students. Yes. They are not students. And by the way,
not students,
when people email me, I try to read as many emails as I can. And I swear to God.
Wait. All right, we're going to stop here for a minute. That's Morning Joe. That's our buddy Joey Scarborough. You know I like to talk about Joey Scarborough. I'm always talking about him in the podcast. And he just said, when people email me, when I read them as much as I can. Bro, I didn't know I could email Joe. Oh, man. I'm writing this down real quick. We'll get back to the clip. I gotta find out what his email is. Dear Joe Scarborough, do you need a political pundit? I got a guy for you. If I could get on Morning Joe. Guys, that'd be a blast. Anyway, let's continue.
The theme of so many are, Joe, these are students.
Joey.
I believe the children are the future. Teach them well. And I write back and say, thank you so much for watching the show. You mean the world to me. These are not all students.
Well, this is
organized. It's across the nation. And by the way, we all have students. We all know students. We have all talked to.
All right. He's not wrong. I'll give it to Joey. And when Joey's right, I always point it out. And sometimes, to be honest, I go back to the actor thing we talked about with Luke and the, you know, actors are paid. I swear, Joe's had some pretty horrible takes. And I'm like, man, I bet you he doesn't write his own stuff. And he comes into office sweating bullets every morning. He's like, oh my God, what are these people going to have me say this day? And then he's got to read off some garbage thing for his morning segment. And he doesn't believe it all. Joe Scarborough is probably voting for Trump. Let's be honest. We know he is. He watches this stuff and he's all like, I don't know. This is organized. I wonder who organized it. Joey, MAGA ain't organizing this one, dude. So keep paying attention. Dude, if we can get Joe Scarborough red-pilled. Oh, man. I'm also going to pray for salvation. I sure would like to see Joe Scarborough come to Christ. Anyway, let's continue.
Our students that are these are not all students.
They're not all students. They're outside agitators.
We'll find out.
I also want to put this against the backdrop of the vote yesterday on anti-Semitism in Congress.
Mm-hmm. Listen to this part.
It was 320.
Hold on. I'm going to back it up a hair. We'll bring this comment in real quick. The lawlessness of current administration Democrat regime created this. He's absolutely right. Trump won 2020. Is absolutely right. He's probably right about his screen name too. Just giving you a heads up. Let's back this up. This guy, I don't know who he's talking. I want you to pay attention to this, because this is super important.
Backdrop of the vote yesterday on anti-Semitism in Congress, mm-hmm. that it was 320 yeas and 91 people voted against a simple bill to protect against anti-Semitism. And what's interesting, that's about 1 in 4. Mm-hmm. The same numbers
that Jonathan Greenblatt and ADL have come out and said that 1 in 4 Americans have anti-Semitic beliefs. So Congress is very representative of Americans.
Record skip. All right, so we're going to move, and I should have not spent so much time on the Luke Skywalker at the bingo in the White House, because this one's going to take a conversation. So I'm going to try to rush through this as possible. I apologize, because I'm not going to spend too much time on this. So this week, a bill came out, the Anti-Semitism Aware Act. And he just brought it up. And he says, and this bill, I haven't read this. And I keep hearing arguments about what it says and what it doesn't say. But what I can understand for the most part is where it might lead to is that if you say something that can be deemed anti-Semitic, it can be a federal offense, I'm assuming, something along those. Now, you can check that out. You can have your own opinions on it. Don't listen to me. I don't know. I didn't read the bill. I can't give you a good take. But I will pull up a few of these things. But I'm going to pull up a few tweets that I saw that I think are fairly reputable. And I want you to think about this bill that just passed. But what he just said, and this is going to reflect it, it says the amount of votes, it was 91 who voted against this Anti-Semitism Awareness Act and 300 and some voted for. And he says, in America, that divvy is up. That's 1 in 4 of every American has anti-Semitic views. He just equated to everyone who voted against this anti-Semitism bill as being anti-Semitic and all the people who voted for it being not anti-Semitic. Pay attention to what they're doing. This is why when I say the policies, the foreign things, I don't care about, but the media, the way the media works, that's the thing that makes me most nervous, because I'm a cultural guy. I'm an artist. I care more about the way knowledge comes in through art and the way culture moves than I do policies, because I believe culture is upstream from politics, or, you know, how people talk about politics is downstream from culture. And I think culture is downstream from art. That's why I think this is big important. Media is in there. And media affects the way people look at politics. Media is up in that culture part. And you could actually say it's probably an art, because media and lying is an art form. So that's why I always talk about Morning Joe. That's why I always bring him up. What he just said, that if you were in Congress and you voted against this act, that would make saying something that someone could deem as hate speech is against the law now. And 91 of our Congress people, including one I'm going to read here in a minute, voted against that because they think you can say something and be okay, because there's this thing called free speech in the First Amendment. I don't know if you guys know about that. They think that's a bit important. This bill just spat in that face, if I'm correct on what it is. And not only did he just do that, he said the votes reflect the American sentiment. He's saying that 1 in 4 people in America are anti-Semitic, and then equated to if you don't like the act, that's you. If you don't like a quash on free speech, if you're like, no, this free speech, if you think free speech is a good thing, no, because a lot of people, it's not free speech, David. He's talking about hate speech. Bro, define me hate speech and tell me it's an actual thing. Because I don't know how you define hate, number one, and I don't know how you would define hate speech in a reasonable sense. If someone says something to me out of hate, but they speak another language, and I don't get it, does that count? What if they're saying something super nice but sarcastically, like I do, when I say, I think Joe Scarborough is a smart person? Is that considered hate speech? Because I obviously don't. And so what do we do then? So I don't know about this, but hate speech, this whole hate speech thing, if you can define it and then explain it to me, then maybe I'll have a good take on it. But for right now, I don't think hate speech is a legit concern. I don't. I'm pretty much a free speech absolutist, and I'm not anti-Semitic. I could have did a whole podcast about how my views on this are so out of date, because I come from Southeast Texas. I didn't even understand. I still, to be honest, don't tell the internet this. I don't understand why people might be. I don't get it. I don't get the Jew hate. It doesn't make any sense to me. Again, I didn't really grow up in a giant culture where you had Jews here and Muslims here and, you know, Koreans here in this, like, New York City. I didn't grow up around that, so I don't understand this. I think there was a small Jewish population in my little town, and they were just people to us. And so it sounds like, well, David's just colorblind. No, I'm just being truthful. No idea where the Jew hate comes from. Don't get it. But what I do understand, and we're about to read, let's pull this. Actually, let's go and get rid of this. I'm going to pull this up. We're going to read what Thomas Massie, a guy in Congress, right? It's Congress, isn't it? Let's see what he's got to say about this. He's one of the people that voted no against it. So he is equated to being an anti-Semite. Let's see what he says. This evening, I will vote against this ridiculous hate speech bill that is called the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act. Anti-Semitism is wrong. I agree. But this legislation is written without regard for the Constitution, common sense, and even a common understanding of the meaning of the words. The gospel itself, the gospel of Christ itself would meet the definition of anti-Semitism under the terms of this bill. The bill says the definition of anti-Semitism includes contemporary examples of anti-Semitism. It's a lot of times I have to say that. Identified by the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance, the IHRA. One of these examples includes claims the Jews killing Jesus. That's just one thing. We're gonna sit on that for a hot minute. I don't know. Again, I believe I like Thomas Massey. I don't know if he read the. I'm going off of what he says. And this is why I said, do I think the regime, this bill is gonna come and start locking Christians up for being Christian? No. Do I think Christians should be, the Holocaust and Holocaust denials, me going out there yelling at Jewish people? No. I think you can be perfectly fine not hating Jews and go to heaven. I don't think you have to hate Jews to go to heaven. Number one, what I don't like is I don't like any government getting bigger for someone's safety. We know one thing. Here's the one thing. Yep. Everything's a trade-off. Thomas Sowell says this. Everything's a trade-off. You have security and protection, and you have freedom. I know you guys know I fall in the libertarian camp. You get one or the other. The more of one, the loss of the other. They're completely outweighing on the scale. So every time something like this happens, your freedom goes away. And they're like, well, they're just taking away the freedoms of Nazis, David. No, they're taking away your ability to criticize in a way that they deem is anti-Semitic. Now, they just showed, like, this is what this particular, the INHR or whatever, they deem is anti-Semitic. Bro, who controls that? And once you start doing that, I'm telling you, the reason the free speech, the First Amendment is the first one, is super important. And Massey's right here. If this bill does what he says it does, you can be a Christian and be like, I pray for two things. I pray for my family and I pray for Israel, because those are the two most important. You could be hardcore white evangelical with the Christian flag and the Israel flag up on stage at your church, praying for Israel every day. You could be that guy, and this should worry the hell out of you. This should literally worry the hell out of you. I'm not saying this to freak you out, but this might be something that's concerning. Let's see what else other people have got to say. I've got a few tweets on here. That's a Thomas Massey. Where am I going here? Matt Gaetz. I said Thomas Massey. I think he came out as a voting against it as well. Let me go back. Let's see what else I got here. Oh, these are all things. Clint Russell says, this is my boy Clint. I like, oh man, this is not working. Go back and click on this one thing. Nope, it's not wanting to work. Either way, whatever. We'll just get rid of it. I can't seem to work Twitter. Either way. A ton of people were coming out. I was going to read a bunch of different quotes being like, if you were a Christian, this should scare you. Not because you're like reading the Bible. I don't think they're going to be like, did you read the Bible? Lock him up for anti-Semitic. I don't think they're getting there yet. And I just think if the government, you give the government 1 inch, they're going to take a mile. They're always, this only goes in one direction. That's it. That's the one thing I might be an idiot when it comes to politics. I do know that every time they pull one of these stupid bills out, like the Patriot Act, it only goes in one direction. The government will never admittedly make itself smaller. It will not do that. It will not. You will never, the government will never be like, you know what these people need? More freedom. Hot dog, hot diggity dog. We should give these, our nation, more freedom. You know why? Because they get paid to have much they control. The more they control, the more they benefit, and you don't. That's why I go back to this argument between, do we need Democrats or Republicans? No, just push the Democrats. You can sit at the kids' table. It's time for the adults to talk. Now we need to go about authoritarianism and non-authoritarianism. We need libertarians and Republicans to hash this out in a public sphere where everyone can see. And that's the big thing. And so you can be all you want. Be like, I stand with Israel. I'm happy that you stand with Israel. I don't care at this point. If this thing says that I can't, if I have any criticism, if I'm doing what I'm doing right now might be illegal, then that might be an issue. And I'm not even technically criticizing Israel. I'm criticizing the bill. But that would just be the next step. And so you can, love Israel all you want. Do whatever you want. Stick whatever political line you want. This will affect you, just like the Patriot Act does. And everyone's like, no, no, it's for our safety. You still have to take your shoes off to get on an airplane. And oh, like, well, that's a dumb comparison. It might be, but I don't know what comes next, because I'm telling you, it only goes in one direction. So that's my take on this. This is terrifying. This thing is terrifying. If it is what it is. Now, again, I didn't read it. Also an idiot. But don't be surprised when the next time you tweet something like Christ is King and you get deleted off an app. Because Elon's all for free speech, except for when it's against the law. And we are right on a precipice of you saying Jesus Christ is Lord being against the law. And I'm not being hyperbolic. I'm being serious. It's crazy. It's crazy out here. So that's where I stand with that. That's where I'm at in the political thing. If you want to be dumb and hate speech and tell people you hate them, sure. I don't think making hate against the law even works. This is a war on hate speech, right? This is what that, we saw how the war on drugs went really well, right? The war on drugs, are we winning that one yet? Have we won the war on drugs? This is the war on hate speech. You think we're going to win this? Do you think when you tell all the dumb people saying stupid, racist, anti-Semitic things online that they can't say it anymore, all those thoughts that they had, those feelings that they had, all of a sudden subside and they're like, oh my God, I can't say dumb stuff on Twitter. I'm reborn. Look at me. I love everybody. No, bro, it gets worse. I understand the idea and the efforts of the law. I get it. And I know this only came out because the college, all right, conspiracy time. Not that this whole thing has not been a conspiracy. Like we just watched the video where they're like, this seems funded. Something's funding it here, right? We don't know who. We have some suspicions, but something's funding it. And this just popped up like, what, 2 weeks ago? And then already there's a bill that's to combat what's going on. Because I think that bill talks specifically about the colleges. They're like, well, these kids, and I don't think it goes that far. It's like, well, if the kids are saying anti-Semitic things, they should be ousted from college. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's all the bill does. But it comes out right as these protests are coming out. So if the protests are funded by somebody, let's just presume it. What if it's the government? What if the government likes this? And then the government's like, hey, you know that problem you guys are having on the campuses that we may or may not created? We can solve it. You know how we solve it? Here's a nice little pretty bill that seems super nice. Like, we love puppies. It's a we love puppies bill. The only problem is we love your puppies so much, like the ATF, we're going to come kill them. It's PETA all over again. We love your puppy more than you do. We'll treat it better than you can. We'll come kill your puppy. It's literally, so if they orchestrated this, why wouldn't they come? Whoa, look at this nice little bill. We'll solve this problem on your campuses for you. It's two hands from the same person. That's what I'm trying to say. Conspiracy time. Conspiracy, conspiracy, conspiracy. That's what it is. Well, that sure is what it seems like, even if a conspiracy or not. I do love the fact that every time something crazy happens, they got to bring some new legislation. Yeah, I don't know if you guys were around for 2020, but do you remember when mail-in voting wasn't a giant thing, but all of a sudden it showed up? Now, I don't put the tinfoil hat on for me yet, but what if that was just seizing an opportunity? Maybe the pandemic wasn't created. I'm going to go with the logical nuance sense. No. Don't be a conspiracy theorist. The government definitely didn't lab grow a disease. Someone did. Oh, are we allowed to say that one yet? I'm not sure. But if this wasn't a pandemic, the government sure to take an opportunity to go, hey, you know what would be nice to make sure we always get our candidates in is mail-in voting. That way people can put the last amount of effort into voting. I'm not saying anything was stolen, but it does seem kind of weird. So anyway, let's see what someone has to say. Trump won 2020 election. I planned that out. I'm joking. Prohibition never worked, and it never does. So you can say hate speech and you make laws against it. It's not going to do you any favors. Even if you're for it, you're like, man, maybe you're Jewish and you're like, they're coming at me hard, David. Maybe you're Jewish and you're watching this. You're like, dude, they're coming at me hard. I would like the government to be on my side for once. Because it always seems like the government's going out against me. Maybe. I get it. But this ain't going to help you out either. Because if, like I said last week, there's a few things that all connect us. And one of those things is being human and having thoughts and thinking thoughts. And thinking thoughts shouldn't be a terrible concept. And it definitely shouldn't be bad when you're like, hey, I've got this weird thing where I'm a little suspicious of a country. Whoop, right to jail. Because that's never going to work out well for anybody, except for the people at the top. So unless my entire audience are Fed agents, but then I'm not, I'm just talking to the air anyway. super worrisome. Look, this wasn't super Star Wars themed, so I'm going to end this with a clip I thought was fun. Actually, no, here's the thing. The whole regime, since we're on this, I know we're running long. We're going to go a little bit longer today. Before we go on, I'm going to say, Pileo Garbage says, I'm not a Fed, you're a Fed. I'm not a Fed, you're a Fed. We're going to watch this clip real quick. I got to get rid of some stuff real fast. I want you to see. So I know it, I'm all like, this thing's going to heck in a handbasket. Everything's ruined. They're going to be locking Christians up. They're coming after you. They're coming for your kids. Hide your kids, hide your wife. I know it seems crazy, but there is some light at the end of the tunnel. So wherever you stand on this, wherever you stand on this Israel-Palestine, these protests, you know, wherever, whatever side you stand on, there is something, like I said, there's something that always unifies us. And so I want to share this super white-pilling unifying moment. I hope you guys are going to really enjoy this. It's off of Twitter. I didn't put it in my video, so we're going to see if it works. Oh, let's scroll. Let me widescreen this. So this is a clip from the protests. There's, you know, two sides to each side. There's the pro-Palestinian, there's a pro-America, I'm assuming. I don't see any Israel flags. I'm going to say it's just America First people. Maybe. Maybe this, I don't know. I wasn't there. I'll let you judge. But in this land of what we live in now, I want to pull this up too because it'll work out fine. The world we live in now, with everybody, you have to pick a side and no one can be friends, and we got to fight and we got to argue online, and you got to figure my side out. And if you say something I don't like, I'm going to lock you up. There's some beautiful light at the end of the tunnel. And so I want you to see this clip and I want you to tell me what you think about this guy. And just listen. Just listen to what they're saying. There it is. There you have it, people. If there's one thing that we can all unite on, it's F Joe Biden, apparently. That's two sides. Two sides of the protest. And they're like, no, you need to get off the college. And they're like, no, we need a ceasefire now. And everyone's like, shush. What can we come together with? How do you feel about Biden? Screw that guy. Hey, us too. Why don't we just all start chanting that? Let's go Brandon, everybody. And so I thought that was super fun. When did you show that? I don't know. Trump 1-2020 says, where was that? I don't know. I just found that clip. Let me look. I'll hold on a second. Let me see. This was a clip posted by Benny Johnson. Let's see what he says. He just says a chant that will unite America. Hear, sir. It'll let unite America. Guys, I hope it gets better. But we ain't even in summer yet. So pull your britches up. They're already trying to shut you down, trying to make sure you can't say Jesus is Lord or Christ is King or whatever that phrase people were using for as calling it anti-Semitic. That's the reason I brought that up, is because that was literally a conversation I had a month ago that everyone was having. Is saying Christ is King, does that mean you hate Jewish people? And sure enough, man, I don't. Me and my friends who are all Christian, we've had the conversation. We're like, are Christians persecuted today? We're like, no, bro, this is not what persecution looks like. But if there were a path to persecution, this might be one way. Just bringing that up. So we're going to end this out. I want you guys to take a look at this. I'm going along. Oh, not that. I'm going to bring this back up real quick. Let's do this. Watch this. Oh, I'm going to pause it. I thought this was great. The audio quality is something, but I couldn't find a better one. So we're going to watch this real quick. And I thought, as far as this conflict goes, I think I figured out where I stand, and this might be it.
Did nothing wrong. The empire did nothing wrong. Moff Tarkin blew up Alderaan. The liberal media is not going to tell you that. The Rebel Alliance kidnaps children. And they indoctrinate them to talk about Star Wars.
So this guy's at Columbia. He's legit at the protest. And he's vying for the Empire. Basically, it's Star Wars. That's why I thought this was a great theme. He's basically doing what old Mark Campbell's doing. But he's not playing around with it. he just goes on. I thought this was great. I just want you guys to watch it because it gets better all the way to the end.
Is there a Star Wars area? Wait, there's a special area to talk about Star Wars. The Mandalorian uses Baby Yoda as a human shield. What are they doing?
Dude, they're so pissed. They're so pissed.
Talk about Star Wars.
You're Fox News?
I'm going to be on Fox tomorrow.
Okay, yeah. So, the Mandalorian was using Baby Yoda as a human.
Hold on, I'm going to pause this. So he's talking to a guy. He's going to be on Fox tomorrow is basically what he's saying. He's like, can I get a statement? And this guy goes into it. So he's doing a bit. But people, and you're about to see, people think he's using the Empire as an analogy. And I think he's using it for, the Israel, whatever cabal thing you want. But he's not. He's literally pointing out, he's just pointing something out. And I think it's great. And so I just want you to watch this because he keeps with it. And it's beautiful. I think it's awesome. I love the stuff like this.
The liberal media doesn't talk about how Alderaan was being used as a base for the Rebel Alliance. Say what you want about the Sith Lord, but I mean, he dealt with the Trade Federation and that whole blockade of Naboo.
Okay, and for those who are a little bit less familiar with Star Wars, could you draw the analogy a little bit more?
You want to start with Episode 1. You see
that? How does that connect to this issue or why you're out here?
What issue? What's this? What's going on here? What is this? Oh, Israel? Oh, huh. Hard to say, really.
That's it. What's going on here? What do you mean? This thing? What is this? Oh, it's about Israel? Kind of hard to say. I loved it, man. Beautifully done. Perfect. But yeah, I thought that was fun to end this whole Star Wars themed. Hey, may the 4th be with you. May the 5th be with you. Happy Cinco de Mayo, everybody. Thanks for tuning into the Partner Podcast. I went a little extra long for this, probably because it was Star Wars. And I ranted. Not a lot of jokes, a lot of rants. Super uninformative. Just me talking. It's Sunday night, Sabbath. Hope you guys have a great week this week. Try to keep your head above water. Try not to get wrapped up in whatever stupid thing is happening on the internet. Try not to be super reactionary. Try to think through things. And I'm going to do one more thing. If you're like me and you're not like hardcore in politics, but you feel the pressure to be caught up with it, do the best you can. I think that's all anyone can ask. If you haven't figured out how to feel about anything going on, do the best you can. But always prioritize that stuff. Because the thing I worry about when I see people online, everyone's like, go out and touch grass. These people are perpetually online. I am too, for the most part. But I have tons of other stuff. Like, I did this guy up this week. Like, I'm doing things. And I hope you're doing things too. And I want you to know that it's not the end of the world. And maybe America's falling apart. Maybe it's societal collapse is right on our doorstep. But the only way we're going to get through a societal collapse is we have some foundation, some normalcy. And if you're losing your marbles online and about this stuff, if you want to go to a protest and you want to set up an encampment, have at it. But I don't know how you get to work. And if your family's starving because you want to LARP as a political activist, we need to put some things in check. And so, sure, if you got the time, you're super active in politics, you're running campaigns, you're an activist. You do you, boo, for sure. But don't let the world slip through your fingers while you're over there trying to save it, because that'll happen. So that's my PSA. I hope everybody has a great week. I'll be back here next week, 8:30-ish, 8:30. You guys know. Set an alarm. Like and subscribe. Hit notifications. I don't even know where notifications are, but hit that thing. Whatever you're following, watching this on, be sure to do the same. Again, we're just hope you're having a good time. Making jokes, making fun of all the media, because they're clowns. And clowns are meant to be laughed at. Bye, guys.